Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it has been once again, just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 29. Sunday nights we've been going through and we've been teaching on Bible characters, little known Bible characters that have a message for us. And so we've been going back and forth. One week we'll teach on a Bible character in the Old Testament, and then we'll teach on a Bible character in the New Testament. Last week we taught on Leah and the mess that was going on there with her and her sister Rachel and Jacob and their father Laban and all the story there. And just briefly, we know that Jacob had to leave his own homeland because he deceived his father and his brother. And now his brother wanted to kill him, so he has to flee. And he goes to Laban, and Laban has two daughters, Rachel and Leah, and Rachel being the youngest one. And he wanted to marry Rachel. And so Laban told him if he worked 7 years, that would be enough that he would be able to marry his younger daughter, Rachel. So he worked 7 full years to be able to marry Rachel. Well, when it was all said and done, Laban deceived Jacob and actually sent Leah into him. And so he wakes up and he finds that now he has went into and is married to Leah. So then he goes to Laban, and Laban says, if you'll work another 7 years, tell me you'll do it, and I'll go ahead and give you Rachel right now. After a week with Leah, I'll give you Rachel, and you can have both of them. We studied, understand the biblical, God's will concerning marriage. It's always been one woman for one man for one woman. But in the Old Testament, a little bit different. God allowed that, never his perfect will. But anyway, so as we looked at that, and then so he committed to working another 7 years so that he would have Rachel. And we studied on Leah and her self-worth issues, being deceived by her father, and then being hated by her now husband, and being hated by her sister, which is her co-wife situation here. And so what a triangle and everything. And so, but the Bible gives us this, and the lesson we learn from Leah is that she learned to focus on God. She tried to find self-worth in pleasing her husband. She tried to find purpose for life in pleasing someone else, never did work. And then she finally, after having four children, she realized that her focus needed to be on God. And she focused on God, and after the fourth child, she started praising God. And so we learned that. We learned that we need to keep our focus on God and seek Him first and learn to praise Him no matter what, okay? Well, with that said, I couldn't go back. I just had to deal with Rachel. So we're going to be looking at Rachel tonight to give you the rest of the story, if you will, tonight. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read chapter 29, verse 16 and 18, because this deals with Rachel. And then we're going to drop down to chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. So Genesis chapter 29 and verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now drop down to chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Herself now, having a hard time finding purpose, at least she voices that. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb? True statement. God withheld from her the fruit of her womb. Let's pray. We'll get into it. Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for having an opportunity to come to church and just learn more about your word and your will for our lives. And Lord, as we have gone back to this passage of scripture and wanting to study what message you have for us from the Bible character of Rachel, I just pray that you would help each one to open their ears and their hearts to receive from you what you have for them. Empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, well, Rachel was desired by Jacob. Leah was not. And so now we find here, you have two sisters, and there's a young man comes into the picture, and so immediately this young man shows interest in the younger of the two daughters. And so Leah would also, again, a little self-worth here, she would have realized that somehow in birth her sister got all the looks. Any siblings here tonight that feel that way, you know? You know, the one got it all. She didn't get as much. She got tender eyes. But the Bible says that Rachel was beautiful. And not only that, she was well-favored. So Rachel was desired by Jacob and had physical health and beauty. I don't know. I think our desires might change some. I think they do as we get older. But I don't know any teenager that did not at some point or another desire to have a little more clear complexion. That did not desire to maybe be a little bit prettier. Maybe desired to be a little less weight, a little more hair. Curly hair, straight hair, whatever it is. I know our daughters, one was born with curly hair and one was born with straight hair, and the curly-haired girl won the straight hair and the straight-haired girl won the curly hair. So we find here that this is what the Bible tells us about it. Rachel, in verse 1 of chapter 30, after all said and done, now dealing with Rachel, she envied Leah. Can I tell you that Rachel was blessed, but had not learned to be content? Leah was blessed in her own way, and God blessed her with four children, but it took a long time for her to learn to stop trying to please everybody else, even a husband that loved the other wife and hated her in regards to the relationship here. She learned to focus on God in the midst of whatever her situation, and when she would focus on God, that she would learn to praise Him. And when you learn how to just praise God no matter what the circumstances, it brings joy and contentment into your life. So we found that about Rachel. She learned to just praise God no matter what, or Leah. Now Rachel, we find in Rachel's life, Rachel was one, even though she was blessed, she had not learned as of yet to be content with the blessings that she had. As we study the Word of God, there's no doubt it's God's will for all His children to be content. Now realize, Rachel was desired by Jacob. She got the boy. Not only that, he was willing to work 14 years. What a commitment to love. What a commitment to prove to her, you're worth it. That's enough. I mean, right there, that was enough to at least help her to see that she was blessed by having somebody love her that much. desired her that much. Outwardly, the Bible records here that everyone would have looked and said she was beautiful. She could not have asked to have a clearer complexion. She could not have asked to have a greater health. She had her physical health. Not only did she have beauty, she was a physical specimen. The Bible says she was well-favored, meaning that she had good health. She was an excellent type of health. She was a testimony of good health. There's no one that's ever had a health problem that would not have desired to be healthy and not have that problem. As Kelly was saying, you know, you can't praise God for going through the pain of poor health, but you can praise God for the promise as we go through poor health that God sees and has a purpose. But you have to learn that. You have to learn. If you don't know that, then you're not going to be content and you're not going to find strength to make it through those trials. So it's God's will for all His children to learn to be content. And contentment is something that we have to learn. Okay, let's go over a few verses here. I wanted to get this because we find the example of Rachel, but this is what this example God wants to teach us from the example of the life of the Bible character Rachel. Okay, Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. God sent a prophet to Rachel during that time. The prophet's message from God would have been, Rachel, learn to be content. Look at what you have and stop looking at what you don't have. Be thankful for what you have. Learn to be able to give thanks and praise God for what you have. Learn to want what you have, no matter what that might be. It's what God has given you right now. So we look at Philippians in chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He said, "I'm rejoicing because now you're able to. Before you weren't able to, I still rejoiced. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whether you're taking care of my needs or God chooses to use something else to take care of my needs." He says, "I have learned in respect of what I have learned in whatever state I am therewith, in that state, in that condition, in that trial, in those finances, in whatever it is, I have learned therewith in that state to be content." And then he goes on to say how he's able to do that. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then this tops it off. He learned, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. I can be content no matter what my circumstances. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Got to get this established. I mean, this is God's will for us. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, basic needs, let us be therewith content." Basic needs, being content. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. verse 5. Let your conversations be without covetousness. Don't allow that to enter into your life. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great thought to keep on our mind while we're going through any circumstances of life if we want to be content. If we want to have the joy of contentment. So we're looking at this. Now we go back to an example of Rachel who had not learned to be content. And she was blessed. She was very blessed. She had much to look to find contentment in. But what happened, and what usually happens to all people, if you're not content, you have allowed uncontrolled desires to take over. Uncontrolled desires will lead to, as we find it led to Rachel, envy to the point of coveting, covetousness. And covetousness will always lead to discontentment. Amen? So, as we look at this, we're putting all this together. Again, let's just focus on this idea of Rachel. There's no doubt there. She has much to be thankful for. She has much, if she chose to, she could have been content with all of the things that God had blessed her with. But she chose to focus on one thing that her sister had, not everything that she had that her sister didn't have, but she decided to focus on the one thing that her sister had that she did not, and that was children, having a child. Can I tell you that having desires is a normal and if even a very healthy thing? There's nothing wrong with desires. Matter of fact, in Psalms 37:4, it says this. God says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall, God shall, give thee the desires of thine heart. It's not that God does not want us to have to desire things. It's that God wants us to desire the right things. And God wants us to put things in proper order. Amen? So the question, will we ever have all that we could possibly desire? Do you think that you could ever have all that you could possibly desire in this life? If you say, oh yes, I can be there. I've got something. If I had it, I would never ask for anything else. Listen to me, you're deceived. And you're deceiving yourself. The answer, the correct answer, is not as long as we are in this flesh, because we can never fully satisfy the flesh. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. Those that have more money than they know what to do with, billionaires, want more. Greed, along with some other things as well, but in the flesh, you will never fully satisfy all your desires. All of us, if you have raised children, you have heard this before. It's all I want. If you give me this one thing, I'll never ask for anything else. This is all I want. How many of you believe that? Not a parent here should believe that. How many believe that the child believes that? At that time? Because they are focused on their whole life depending upon this one thing. And if I can have this one thing, I'll do anything I need to do to get it. I'll make whatever promises. Amen. I'll clean my room every day. I'll take out the trash. I'll pick up my brother's things. I'll do whatever my sister wants me to do. They'll make any promise that they think that they have to make to fulfill a desire that they think they have to have. Some wives are saying, that's my husband. Yeah. And then they get it. And they are satisfied for how long? Until they see something else that somebody else has that they don't have. No longer are they looking at what they do have. They are focused on what they don't have, but somebody else has. And commercials are betting that they have a little bit of ability to persuade mom and dad to buy them whatever it is that they want. Those commercials are designed to make that child and that adult child believe you can't live without it. Fulfilled desires do not put an end to desires. Rachel was blessed. Rachel probably had what Leah desired most of her teenage years. Yeah. And others around her. Rachel was blessed. Natural beauty. Natural health. A man that was willing to give up 14 years of his life and paying wages to have her to become his wife. That's a catch. Amen. Yeah. She was blessed, but she had not learned to be content. Chapter 30, go back there with me. We find here that Rachel envied and put the pressure on Jacob. And Jacob was angry. Now what it says there. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die, putting the pressure on him. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Didn't make for a very good marital relationship. Didn't make for peace in the home. Contentment in the home. Was it Jacob? No. It was Rachel and her not learning to be content. So, three thoughts, three biblical principles that we learn from the life of Rachel on contentment. The first, make sure that we have right desires. There's not a human being that does not have desires. But there are right desires and there's wrong desires. Rachel was not wrong in desiring a child. Having children, no doubt, is natural. Having children is a healthy desire. I would trust that every one of our young people, every one of our young ladies would desire to have a family one day, desire to have a Christian husband, desire to have children that you can raise, 20 years down the road maybe, but children that you can raise, especially if you talk to your parents. But that's healthy. I want you to desire that. Every one of you young men, I want you to desire to one day have a woman that you love and that loves you. And I want you to desire to be the husband that God wants you to be to your wife. I want you to desire to have children so that you can raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes. Healthy desire. That's healthy. That's good. I want you to have those desires. God wants you to have those desires. Rachel was not wrong in desiring a child. But not all of our desires are healthy. Not all of our desires are right. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. And if I go too fast for you, just write these verses down. Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so this world is designed to get you to walk opposite the will of God, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires. The lost have a desire to fulfill the lust of their flesh. And children of God that's living in disobedience give themselves to whatever the flesh desires. Wow. If we find ourselves with ungodly desires, we must overcome them. Instead of giving in to them, and all of us will have wrong desires from time to time. Instead of giving in to them like the lost would, because they don't see why we shouldn't. Don't deny yourself, is what the world says. Because they don't believe that you'll stand before an almighty God and give an account for the decisions that you make. And so when we have desires, the very first thing that I want to do is to make sure that my desire is a right desire. And if I know, based upon the words of God, that this is a wrong desire to have, I cannot give it any time to convince me to give in to it. I must overcome them. Go back to 1 Timothy with me, chapter 6. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, when Paul was writing to Timothy and he tells him to be content. If you have your necessities met, learn to be content, Timothy. Because there's going to be some desires that if you don't learn to be content, that will control you. And so he goes on to say in verse 9, but they that will be rich... Is that really something that God wants us to focus our desire on? Money? Wealth? Nothing wrong with having that, but everything wrong with focusing your life on that. Because it's a temporal thing. And we need to put more emphasis on the eternal things than the temporal things. And so he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That people that go after money, people that believe that they have to have everything this world has to offer, and they focus on that, the Bible tells you what happens to those individuals. They're overcome by those desires because those desires should not be at the forefront of why we're here. And you're never going to find true happiness and the joy of the Lord by focusing on the desires of the flesh. Yeah. So he said, you're better off, Timothy, is to learn to focus on just praising God for your necessities. And then let God bless you with whatever finances that he knows you can handle. Let God bless you with whatever worldly things that God knows you can handle and still put him first. Can I tell you the reason why God does not bless many of his children with worldly finances and worldly things is because of what it will do to you if you had it. And the only one that knows the future and how it would affect you is God. Wow. He goes on to say, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God," Paul's referring to Timothy, he said, "You're a man of God. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Get a hold of that, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Focus on these things, Timothy. Amen. So, desires themselves are not wrong, but we have to make sure that we have right desires. And when we acknowledge a desire of being a wrong desire, starts in our minds and we give in to it. Before you know it, it's in our hearts. It takes over our feelings. It takes over our life. When you understand that is a wrong desire, you must overcome it, or it's going to lead you into these things. Second thought, second biblical principle. Rachel, you should have learned to overcome that. Control how we express right desires. It's a right desire. There's nothing wrong, Rachel, with you desiring a child. That's natural. That's normal. Nothing wrong with that. But Rachel was impatient. She did not consider God's will nor God's time. She wanted to blame somebody else. Who better to blame than your husband? Or your wife? We seem to put more blame and more pressure on the ones we love the most to fulfill whatever desires we might have. Isn't that true? See, Rachel would reveal a weakness in this area. Go back with me, Genesis chapter 30. This is not the only thing. We know this is one of her weaknesses, and this is what God would have us to learn from her life, is that her uncontrolled desires got the best of her. In chapter 30, in verse 14 and 15. "And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes." Now, I believe the mandrakes would have been like mushrooms, something that was very enjoyable, and you can only find the morels certain times of the years, and this is something that the people would want. So this would be something that she would want to eat. "And found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah," she saw now, wait a minute, "Leah, you got some mushrooms. Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, it's a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." She'd do anything to get what she wanted. Do anything. Chapter 31, verse 9. Chapter 31, Genesis 31, verse 9. "Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me, and it came to pass at the time that the cattle This is Jacob getting the his own wealth from Laban, and now they're getting ready to leave. Okay, as they're getting ready to leave, now go down to verse 19 is where I want you to go. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. So they're getting ready to leave, and before they leave Laban, she realized we're going to leave, and Jacob's not going to have these false idols, but I've been raised, my father, this was his religion, so I want to have these with me. And because she wanted what she wanted, she would even steal from her own father. She was so focused on her own desires and not thinking, and that's where uncontrolled desires will lead you to. It'll lead you to not think about anybody else, but focus on what you want, what you desire, and you'll do whatever it takes once that controls your life. It almost cost her husband, Jacob, to be killed by Laban, thinking that Jacob took away my family, took away my goods, and really did not steal from him. He took what was his, but the one thing that they took that was not theirs was the idols. But she wanted them. She was willing to put her husband at risk and steal from her own father. Rachel's impatience placed the pressure on others around her, especially Jacob, to give her a child, which raises the question in our own lives. What would we do to get what we desire? If it's an ungodly fleshly desire, if you give in to it, you're liable to do just about anything. So control how we express our desires. Never try to override God. Never attempt to tempt God. Override God is, you know, God says not now, or sometimes God says no, and you try to do it on your own. Or then the other side of that, not only do you try to override God with what you want, even though you know it's not God's will for your life, but you want it, and so you're going to do whatever it is that you have to do to have what you want, no matter if it's God's will or not, you try to override God. The other part of that is tempting God by saying, if you don't give it to me, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not even going to go to church, and I'm not going to tithe. If you don't bless my finances, I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to do what I know that you want me to do. And you try to tempt God into giving you whatever it is that you desire. That doesn't work either. God is not to be tempted. Neither does he tempt. What we need to do is position ourselves for God to give us the desires of our heart. If once you know it, it is a desire that God could give you, it's a right desire, position yourself for God to give you that. It could be that God has something for you to learn before he opens that door to that blessing. Like Hannah. Hannah wanted a child. And she didn't go and give God an ultimatum. Give me a child, or I'm just going to take my life. Give me a child, or I'm not going to serve you any longer. She didn't give God an, she did not look to tempt God or override God. She vowed a vow to God and said, Lord, if you give me a child, I will raise him. I will be all that you want me to be to him, and I will raise him as a Nazarite and commit him to thy hands. And she did. What a hard thing that would have been. Before she ever had any other children, she had to fulfill her vow to God with her first child. And then God opened her womb to several children. She positioned herself for God to give her a desire of her heart. Nothing wrong with desires as long as it's something that God can give you. It's a right desire. Amen. Everybody following with me this morning, this evening. So we find here that Rachel, she didn't do that. She put the pressure on Jacob. The last thing. First, make sure that what we have, that we have right desires. Second is control how we express even right desires. And the third thing to learn from the character Rachel is this. Learn to be content whether or not we have all that we desire. Learn to be content. Paul said that in Philippians in chapter 4. Whether I have all that I desire or not. Our prayer should be this. Lord, if this is what you have for me now, I want it. You see, I want all that God wants me to have. If I don't have all that God wants me to have, I will never be content. God wants you to have faith. Amen. There's many things that God wants you to have. And I want all that God wants me to have. And if I know that I have at right now, at this point in my life, all that God has for me, I guarantee you I can be content. With what I have now. Not saying that I will never have something else that I might have a desire for, but right now I have what God wants for me now, and I want what God has for me, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm praising God for it as well. So Lord, if this is what you have for me now, I want it, and I thank you for it. Because that is how we learn to control our desires and to learn to be content. Did Rachel ever get to that place? You know, she had, God opened her womb, so she had to at some point draw closer to God and position herself to be the mother that Joseph would have needed for those early years of his life. Eight years Joseph was underneath Rachel as his mother. He needed those early years. But in closing, look with me, chapter 35. In chapter 35 and verse 16, it says this. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. So she would conceive and have a second son. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, which means son of sorrow. But her father called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. It's something that we need to note. The very thing that she desired is what took her life. Did she have more years on this planet because God closed her womb? Because when he opened her womb, giving birth to her second child is what took her life. That's just what the Bible tells us about the life of Rachel. And in understanding that, I trust it puts even more emphasis on this one thing to learn from the life of Rachel. Learn to be content. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.